Radio, what's going on out there? This is the Brothers Podcast, and we are live once again on your radios, on your iPods, on your computers, on your main screens, on your TVs, on your iHeart, on your Apple Podcasts, on your Blog Talk Radio. This is the Brothers Podcast. I'm your boy from the E, your boy Dre. Joining me is our co-host, none other from all the way down in the nation's dirty, dirty capital, the professor of the crew, Maurice, is on the line. Greet the people!
Hello. Good evening, everybody. Listen, now, let's talk about this dirty, dirty capital. Watch it now. Not that dirty. Maybe a little bit dirty, but not all the way dirty.
I was saying dirty in a good way. And then from the city of brotherly love, by way of the city of Motown, it's the author, the publisher, the businessman, the doctor of apostolics, none other than Dr. J in the building. Greet the people.
What's up, good people? Let's make it do what it do.
I know that's right. Let's get into some hot topics, some things that just made me say, like, what the hell is going on in these parts of town? We got any hot topics this week you want to discuss, Professor?
So we lost. I know we are. For some reason, we start with death. But I just feel like it's where we start. We lost actress, singer, Irene Cara on Saturday. She passed away, so we want to send her family light and love. She was 63 years old, and for those of you who do not know who Irene Cara is,
I sure do.
if you ever seen the movie Sparkle from the 70s, she actually played the title role Sparkle. She also my favorite movie of all. I love this movie, Fame. She was Coco. Yes, and she was Coco, and she also won an Oscar for, if you all remember the movie Flashdance. And she won a title. She actually sang the title song from the movie, and she won an Oscar for it as well. So I know I'm saying a lot. They're telling my age. But Irene Cara was a phenomenal singer and actress. So we lost her on this past weekend.
Condolences to her family. Definitely a legend on the big screen. I had to actually look up some stuff. And then I seen a post from Layla Hathaway that was like, rest in peace, Sparkle, to the original Sparkle. And I was like, no, that's who that chick was. So I definitely was just taken aback. And her age, because I thought
63.
I thought the original Sparkle by now was at least 80. I ain't gonna hold you. but I do know that they said she died at her home in Florida, and her cause of death currently is unknown. So I definitely want to send condolences out to that. The Scream Tour has come to an end after a successful run. The last show was over the weekend also. I believe the last show was in Dallas or in somewhere in Texas. I believe that's where the last show was. But it was a phenomenal tour run. Bow Wow was joined by people like Carrie Hilson, Sammy, I think Mario was on a couple. Very, very, very huge tour this year, and very proud of Bow Wow. Many people are asking, is this the end for his touring as a whole? What do y'all think?
I would say if he keeps with this lineup that he has, I don't think it should be. But I also know that Bow Wow looks like he's about to make his way into wrestling a little bit. It seems like he's about to go to the AEW and have a feud with Jade Cargill. So I'm interested in seeing where that goes. But I don't think so. If he keeps with this lineup, I think he should continue the tour. I really do.
I tell you this much. If what they were doing was a storyline, she sold me. Because no more than 5 minutes after she flipped out at his concert, it hit every market across the nation. So definitely was just like, wow. Speaking of hip-hop icon and celebrity Ty Dolla $ign recently posted a cryptic picture of him in critical condition in the hospital, definitely wishing him a speedy recovery.
Ty Dolla $ign, the rapper.
He's a rapper, yes, sir.
Oh, okay. I was out the
list.
I cannot.
No shame. I just, with these names and symbols and, you just be confused, like Ty Dolla $ign, like, okay.
Right. Let's go with something y'all definitely can relate to, Lord. The Rose of Gospel, Dorinda, celebrated 20 years of her first CD, The Dorinda.
Wait a minute. I feel some shade with that comment. Something that we can relate to. Are you calling us old?
I'm calling you saved.
It don't mean. Hold, wait. Okay. Listen, My rap music comes from the 80s and the 80s and the 90s. Now, don't do
me. Now you just called yourself old.
So to know these new artists is a little bit different for me. So, you know, don't judge me. Okay. We're not going to talk about that song because someone thought when they were in middle school to try to do a whole dance to that song in the town itself and was tired like halfway in the middle of it.
Please tell me you have that
old
video.
Oh no, I didn't own a camcorder, but no, I wasn't in the talent show. I decided to try out for the middle school talent show at H.J. McDonald Middle School in New Bern, North Carolina. And I thought it would be cool, you know, it's actually the first time I thought about getting out of my shyness. And of course that song was very popular, Self Destruction. And so someone thought that it'd be cool to perform with that particular song. And so I'm dancing in front of the, you know, the whole thing and realizing this song is long and I need to at some point cut it off. So I didn't make it into the talent show. I wasn't picked to be in the talent show. But for me to actually do that, and I think I had to be sixth or seventh grade. For me to do that, knowing how shy I was my first, I guess you can say that was my entrance into the theater.
I like it. We did Playground and It Feels Good by Tony. Of course, Playground was by Another Bad Creation, and who just recently went back on tour. And then we did It Feels Good as our second round dance song by Tony. Very, very interesting at that time that I was in third grade, and we were all wearing jumpers, which I would never do again.
Okay, great.
So when you was wearing this here jumper,
nope.
Did you have on a long sleeve shirt?
We had
some
on.
Boots. You had boots on.
We had on boots and an airbrush shirt.
Yeah, I figured that's what it was. And with one button, it was one of your
one,
jumpers
yeah.
was one
yeah, yeah, yeah.
hanging
one,
down.
One,
yeah.
one overall was buttoned up, and the other absolutely.
And the other one was hanging down.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
And I had Mark's verse to the song. So, yeah, you know. Well, it's the Mizark, chilling in the desert. I got a break because my mama said be home by desert. But before I go, yeah, I had that joke right there. Good days. But back to Dorinda. Dorinda celebrated 20 years of the roles of her first CD, released from her first CD, Dorinda, which she did a concert at her church in Detroit, well attended. I really wish she went and live streamed it for those who can't fly all the way to Detroit. But from what I understand,
a video was coming. Watch.
Video say that. Oh, I was told she's not doing the video.
They're gonna talk her into it.
Okay. I'm
she
not mad.
Do a video.
I'm not mad if she does. I kid you not. I'm not mad if she does.
Actually, that CD kind of has a special place in my heart because that was the first CD I remember buying. I was in church and I was in Detroit, but I didn't really know who the Clark sisters were as a whole. Dorinda has always been my favorite. And I actually was introduced to the whole by getting that CD.
Wow.
So I didn't even realize it had been 20 years until I started seeing the post. And I was like, wow, how time has flown. But From what I've seen, it was an amazing event. It was Ricky Dillard was there, and Karen and Kiera and all of the like. So it was an amazing thing to see. And you know, Dorinda is always dancing. So, you know, we're still trying to figure out where she's 65, the way she'd be moving, but she was yet doing what she does best.
Yeah, and we thank God. She's about the only crack sister that can dance. Praise the Lord. Me not saying shout. They all shout. But Dodo actually has choreography in her.
They all got it.
I cannot, and I will not today.
But I thank God. I was introduced to the Clarks by Karen, but that CD was the first live DVD that I ever purchased.
Yeah.
That just made my life, because after that DVD, I went and bought Kirk Franklin's first CD live DVD and his second CD live DVD. What you looking for? And I was blown away for years until Tone released the Out of the Box live DVD. And from there, I was just like, if anybody
can. Ooh, Tone, Out the Box. Out the Box. Yes.
Double disc. Listen here. And then he did the whole praise break where he played every instrument on his stage. Then shouted, okay, Anthony. Love that DVD. I promise you. If you don't have that DVD, it's on YouTube. I promise you. But it's worth every penny if you can still find that live DVD. Speaking of the Church of God in Christ, Mother Louise Patterson has been called to glory. Funeral is on, I believe, this Friday. This is an icon. She was an icon leader of the Church of God in Christ, and of course the wife of the late Bishop Gilbert Earl Patterson, and the CEO and president of Bountiful Blessings Ministries and Incorporated. This lady here, I tell everybody, it's the classiest woman I've ever seen in a pair of heels and a white hat.
Right. It's definitely a major hit. Mother Patterson was a standard of excellence and class, and wish there were more women that could stand in that stance, not be her, but at least be classy. Okay. I'm gonna step out of that.
So you saying ain't no classy women in the church?
See, didn't nobody say that? If you have that idea, if you're gonna say what I said, say what I said. Didn't say that at all.
I just want to make sure that my etymology is correct on what you stated. That's
it was wrong.
Make sure I'm gaining an understanding. That's what the word says.
Uh huh.
And all about gaining understanding. I'm trying to understand what you're saying.
Mother Patterson was an epitome of a Kojic woman, and so I think that she would definitely be missed. And her husband was the epitome of a Kojic bishop. Like, I love listening to Bishop D.E. Patterson.
Yes, Lord.
That's Gilbert Earl.
That's Gilbert Earl.
Love, love, love. From the inner courts of heaven to the inner courts of divorce, Kanye and Kim have finally settled on their divorce. They have agreed to terms related to child custody, child support, and expenses for their four children. Kanye went through five different lawyers throughout this divorce, they are now reportedly saying that he will be spending about $200,000 per month in child support, and he's responsible for 50% of the kids' educational expenses, including tuition. and 50% of the children's security expenses, which I'm trying to figure out why kids got security. What do y'all think? This came off kind of easy.
Happy they divorced, I guess. As long as they're doing what's best for them, I really don't care.
I love my brother.
Therapy. Therapy. Kanye, therapy. Kids, therapy.
Yeah.
Kim, therapy. Everybody, therapy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Therapy is definitely, definitely needed as it relates to the Westesses. That's all I have. Am I missing anything for
For those of us that like older TV, Walker, Texas Ranger, and Matlock, Clarence Gilliard passed today. You may not know his name, but you'll know his face. He was always on the show with people where he was identifiable because he was the only black man.
But, he was the only black man.
But Texas Walker Ranger, he was Die Hard, Matlock. So he had great screen presence, but they did find him dead today. But he had been fighting for a few years with bad health. He was only 66.
Wow. That was my granddad's homie. I know my granddad in heaven right now, losing his mind. If he don't know nobody else around the throne, he definitely knows this man. When he walks through that door, he's going to be like, ooh, Walker. That's all he said. That's how he pronounced. That's how he identified the whole show. He didn't care what character you were. You were Walker.
Everybody was Walker. Yep.
That's right. That's right. Wow. Wow, that's a hit. He's a great actor. Great, great actor.
Absolutely.
The thing that I thought was very interesting was that he actually taught. He was in his later years. He was an actual teacher of, I think, theater at a college. So,
yeah. The University of Nevada.
Yeah. So, you know, it's again, you know, the stars are moving on to a better place. I'm quite sure he will be. Missy also already has 6 children as well. We're definitely praying for his family.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Over the weekend was the Soul Train Awards. Our black stars gathered together. Also, the BRIA Awards were broadcast. Many people think they were simultaneously happening, but they were both taped and aired on Saturday. One of the highlights of the Soul Train Awards was Miss Shante Moore and those whistle notes.
Listen. I love Shante Moore. Listen.
She is coming to Philly in February, and I'm getting tickets.
And she's coming to D.C. in January. She's coming.
Is she
going to
be at the winery, right?
City Winery? Yeah.
I might have to come.
January 6th and 7th. Yes, I love some Sean. Hey, Mo.
Because Shante got a man. And he
at home, she got a man because she was just newly married. She's newly married as well. Yes. But I love some Shante Moore. And Escape is going on tour again.
I'm okay.
Well, Escape minus one.
Escape minus Tasha. And Tasha is doing a gospel album coming out next year.
I hope she humbles herself before she releases it.
Well, that's a whole nother conversation, a whole nother kid caboodle. But they did win the Lady of Soul Award, which is like a lifetime achievement for women from Soul Train. Morris Day and the Time won a lifetime achievement award. It was a great. I'm sorry. Did we go to the zoo? What just happened?
That's the intro to my favorite song, Jungle Love by Morris Day and the Time.
I don't know that song.
I'm just saying it's all my life.
No copyright infringement intended.
When I was younger,
we don't want
to
be silent.
I wanted to be North Day so bad, but my mama wouldn't let me perm my hair.
You know, recently Prince Estate actually asked Morris Day and the Times to not use the name Morris Day and the Times.
Prince Estate was going through some things.
How you going to ask Morris Day not to use his own name? That's his real name is Morris Day. How does that work?
Think you all that in bag of chips?
I mean, this is like asking Dre not to be Dre. Don't be Dre. Don't call your name Andre. That's crazy.
What can I say? Michael Jackson's Thriller has returned to the top 10.
40 years.
Absolutely.
40 years. That, some of y'all ain't even that old. 40 years.
Correct.
40.
Can I tell y'all how scared I used to be of that video?
Oh, Thriller?
As a child?
I hate that video with a passion.
Yeah, I was so scared of that video for years. Apparently, Jay-Z and Bacardi has reached a claim of over $2 billion. Sources claim that Jigga, Beyonce's husband, sued, I believe, or was sued by Bacardi. I'm trying to actually get the actual story up. But it has been a dispute that Hov and the liquor giant has reached over a $2 billion settlement case. And he sued Bacardi in connection with their Douce business relationship. Douce being a brown liquor that has taken the liquor world by storm. Sources noted that the case, the arbitrator in the case cited the $2 billion figure as part of his work history on his law firm's site. The amount in dispute exceeds $2 billion, and apparently Bacardi is not too happy right now at this payout. It's a cognac.
Oh, so they have to pay.
They got to pay Jay-Z $2
billion. Listen, y'all, I really feel like we are in the wrong profession because where's our billion?
I mean, we can come out with a wine, you know, call it Sanctified.
I can see that happening.
Yeah. Come out with Sanctified red wine, communion white wine.
Okay.
I'm down. The Last Supper dessert wine.
The Last Supper dessert one. many of the saints will be partaking of the Last Supper dessert one.
Listen.
It's dessert wine.
It's
dessert wine.
That's it. It goes well with that mother's pound cake, yeah.
Okay. This goes well with banana pudding.
I do, that's right. That's it. That's all I got for our topic. Bigger realizing greatness. Dr. J, it's in your hands, kind sir.
Wow. Okay, great. Listen. we're in a time where self-realization is important. Many of us are good at identifying greatness or something in other people, but not so great in doing it within ourselves. Greatness is defined as the quality of being great, distinguished, or eminent. Eminent means that you stand above others in some quality or position. Please understand that your greatness does not have to cause you to be prideful. It doesn't have to cause you to want to outshine anyone else. It just means I understand who I am. I understand what I do and why I do it. I am the best at who I am because I am who I am, not because I'm the most competitive, not because I'm trying to knock people out of their space, and not because I'm trying to dim anybody else's light. It's enough in this world where we can all shine. One of the greatest parts of greatness is being able to help others recognize their greatness. But if you can do it for everybody else, why can't you do it for you? Why can't you realize that you stand out? Why can't you realize that you're good at what it is that you do? Whatever your purpose is, you're good at it. Even though there may be somebody that does it different, even if it's somebody you think does it better, your greatness is still, it should still be a reality for you. So we have to stop squashing ourselves, stop shrinking ourselves, stop dumbing ourselves down for the sake of making other people feel comfortable with who we are.
Wow. We
didn't diminish ourselves for us. We diminished ourselves so other people would be comfortable with us, so they would accept us, so we would, quote, unquote, fit in. But if you need to dummy yourself to fit in, did you really fit in?
No.
It's like a puzzle. If I shave off parts of the puzzle piece, did it really fit? Or is it missing parts of itself for the benefit of being in the finished product, but not actually being where it should be? So your greatness is necessary. Your shine is necessary. Your hustle is necessary. Don't diminish your intelligence, your beauty, your whatever for the sake of making other people comfortable. Stand out, because one or two things happens when people are uncomfortable with your greatness. They're either going to step up to find theirs, or they're going to get the hell out the way.
Ooh. I like it. I like it.
I can't diminish myself so you can feel good about you. Because you don't feel good about you, you got to find out what's going to make you feel good about you. I don't reduce myself for the nicety of just being around. Because if you can't accept me for who I am when I walk in, you don't deserve to have access to me. And that's not me being uppity. That's not me being bougie. That's me setting a boundary. And a boundary is nothing more than self-care. So I'm not giving so much of myself in every place, because if you can't receive me, all you're trying to do is change me, but you're not trying to get me to a better place. You're trying to get me to a you place. This is how I see you. This is how I'm comfortable with you. This is how I need you to be so I can shine over you.
Wow.
But when you really walk in your greatness, it is never to throw people aside or trample over people. It is to help people see that they can do it. You can walk in your greatness and not be nasty, and not be rude, and not be standoffish. You can be great and personable, okay? You can be great and have good, healthy relationships.
Right.
But if we are unwilling to realize that, we're going to miss it. If we're unwilling to deal with the mental constructs that were built by people outside of us, that told us, well, you can't do that, and you can't do that, and you shouldn't do that, because of their own fear or because of their inability to identify greatness within themselves. Some things were said to you not because it was true, but because it was the fear of speaking from the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Baby, you need to go get you a 9-to-5 because, you know, businesses don't work. That was their fear talking. Even though they had a vision for a business, they feared walking in it. So they gave you something that was dressed up like wisdom, but was actually their fear, which is nothing more than a wolf in sheep's clothing. Because I can't do it, or because I can't step out, or because it didn't work the way I thought it would work for me, it's not going to work for you. No, baby. When you walk in greatness, you are pushing people to press beyond what their limitation was. Even if it doesn't work the way they think it would work or the first time, my greatness is not going to limit you. You want to go and run for president? Do it. What does that look like? Let's prepare. I want you to be able to run, but I also want you to do it with integrity. I want you to do it with proficiency. I want you to do it in the greatness. So I'm going to help you with your speech. I'm going to help you with what it looks like to stand and deliver a message. I'm going to help you get voters. I'm going to help you get on the ballot. Why? Because I'm not diminishing me while pushing you. So I have to think bigger. Come on. I shouldn't think more highly of myself than I ought. We know that to be scripture. That simply means I can't be so big-headed that I can't see that I need help. That means I can't be so big-headed that I can't see that I'm not going to make this happen without other people, because there's some things I don't know. Even in my greatness, I'm not a know-it-all. So I'm going to have to reach out to people that know things that I don't know. And it doesn't diminish my greatness to ask for help. Because if I'm able to utilize what you give me, that makes me shine more. And then I'm able to say, listen, I didn't know this, but they taught me this, and help you shine. Because now I'm returning the favor by being able to give word of mouth about what you do and what you know and how people should reach out to you, because you can do it. We've relegated ourselves to the church. We've relegated ourselves to our neighborhood or to our house. And there's nothing wrong with being in church. Hear me. Church is not a problem. But what if your purpose is bigger than the thing
there? Yeah. I think that
is not just to be in the pulpit, but it's to be a rocket scientist. Like, that's a real thing.
Right.
So we got to.
I think when we start talking about greatness, I think when we start dealing with greatness and dealing with it from the perspective of looking at what is great and what defines greatness, we also have to. You said a lot about looking within and needing assistance and help. You got to look at it as you are. You have the capacity to build something or do something that seems impossible. Well, some people don't see their greatness within because they're, again, you said it earlier, they're constantly being beat down and berated by people who couldn't do what they were supposed to do, or who had the dream but dropped the ball, who had the idea but felt they weren't capable of doing it. And I think we do a lot of self-sabotage inwardly when it comes to greatness, because we don't think we can be great, because we think of it as arrogant.
That part.
Is it that we think of it as arrogant, or is it that we've been taught that you're arrogant because you go for what you know?
We've been taught, and we think of it. And so because of what we're taught, it now becomes an idea.
That's true.
You think you're arrogant, but you're not arrogant because you have some of us have great ideas. Some of us have great ideas. We want to do great things. We have the ability to do these things, but we're constantly told, oh, you can't do that, or, oh, you're just being arrogant. You're just doing too much.
And this has been a question that's come up recently. When people say stuff like that, You're doing too much. Am I doing too much, or are you not doing enough?
Hello.
Is my effort rebuking you? Is that really what the problem is? You're being rebuked by my effort, and you're looking at my effort as a problem because you realize you should be doing something more than what you're doing? Because I'm not approaching you with my stuff. So why is my stuff making you so uncomfortable? Because when you come in contact with what is in someone else, when you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, it's going to rub you the wrong way. It's like a rebuke, and you don't know how to respond, so you retaliate or you deflect on the person, and it's not fair. I haven't done anything to you. I was just doing what I knew to do. I remember when I wrote The Watchmen, nobody knew I was writing it. It was supposed to be a class on intercession, and the class didn't happen. But the Lord kept talking, and I kept writing. When it came time to get beyond having a completed manuscript, here come all of the questions. So what you think, you a writer now? Wait a minute. You coming at me in this derogatory way for what reason? I'm doing what I feel led to do. I'm doing something I didn't know I could do. That was 10 years ago. So I'm in my early 20s writing a book. I'm in my early 20s looking at how I can have a book that other people can utilize in their own life. It wasn't me trying to be better than anybody else, because if I be honest, I didn't think I was a good writer because I had been beat down so much in my writing, but there was something beyond me. There was a prophecy pushing me to continue, and connections were made, and I was able to meet people that were able to show me what the next steps were and how to get an ISBN and how to get it in this place and how to do consignment with bookstores and how to – but the derogatory that came, oh, how your little book doing? How many books you sold? Oh, you're a big-time author now. You can let me hold. Wait a minute. You don't have any idea what this process is like, but now – You want me to bankroll your foolishness because you think my obedience has made me a millionaire overnight. I'm just walking in my greatness. And anybody that knows me knows I'm never going to withhold information. If you ask me how to do something, I'm going to do my best to show you how. I am not a hoarder of information. I'm not a gatekeeper of how to get things done. But what you will not do is try to diminish me, because you're not doing what you're supposed to do. I had to see myself beyond where I was. Nobody in my family had ever written a book. I didn't know any authors personally like that, but I was doing something based upon what I was being told to do. I was able to make connections with people. When I met my publisher, Darlene Dixon, she had just started her publishing company. She had maybe at that time one or two authors. Now, 10 years later, she's published over 100 books. She's published people around the country. But I was able to meet her at the inception of my authorship while she was at the inception of her publisherhood. And look where we are now. Books published through her hands are now in Target, in Walmart, in Books a Million, sold across the world. I'm a benefactor of that. I've published the books that I have published. I've sold on 5 continents. So before my feet ever touch land, my work is already present. But if I had allowed the people that were coming at me with the derogatory, you know, little book comments and, oh, you think you're an author, now, if I had allowed that to really seep in, I would have stopped writing and wouldn't be 4 books later. But when
you know what I find interesting?
What's that?
Is that people will say stuff like that. Oh, you're little. Oh, how's your little business? Why I got to be little?
Right.
Right. I never understood we as people do that. We throw shade at people for walking in their greatness, but then get mad and throw shade at them for walking in their greatness or doing what they have dreamed to do, and then get mad at them or throw shade at them for what they're doing, and then complain to our loved ones about how we feel unfulfilled. And
right.
So I just feel so unfulfilled. And I don't feel like I'm not doing everything I know to do. But then your friend finally opens her catering business, and she's getting clients, and she's making the money you should be making. Oh, girl, how your little catering business doing? Right? It's so uncouth and so disrespectful.
It is.
Yeah.
And
I feel like it's so hard because the people, it's always the people, I think, in your own individual circle, your own individual community, that will downplay something that you're doing that is big to you. And a lot of people don't understand, like, by you downplaying my vision, you know, for some people, it will cause them to go into a time of self-doubt. Because
right.
as soon as I get what I need to get done, you know, like I finished my book, or I opened my corner store, or whatever I've walked into my calling on, you know, it becomes a thing of you, my own people, the same folk who asking you for a discount on your product that wants to downplay what you've been called to do in the season you're walking in.
Absolutely. And one thing I always tell people, when you approach me for a discount, you can get upset, but this is my reality. As a business owner, when I give you credit, it becomes my debt.
Mm.
Because the credit I've given you, I now have to oversell to make up for what I've given you, when you could have just paid the price that I was asking for, because that's where I valued it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I choose to give you something, that's different. If I feel like I want to give you a book, I don't have to sell to make that up, because I'm giving it to you. But for you to come and say, well, how can I get this for free? You can't. How can I get the Facebook friend discount? You can't. I don't have one of those.
Right.
I think a lot of us want people to give us something for free. Like, even like, I feel like you all are both authors. And I feel like people probably come at you all well, what tip do you have, or what can I do to write a book like you? And I feel like people want us to give them something for free and refuse to take us at the value we're worth. And one, you want it for free, but you don't want to pay me. You don't want to invest. Like, why do we? I feel like a lot of people do that. You want something for free, but you don't want to invest in it.
That part. Because when you start walking in what you're supposed to do, or you create your business, or you come out with your product, you don't want me to approach you for anything free. But how many times did you approach me?
Mm-hmm.
It works both ways. I'm never looking to get over on my friends. If my friend comes out with a product, I'm paying full price. Let's use Dre. When Dre's book came out, I had a hard copy. I had an e-book copy. I had a before print copy. That's how much I support him. And
right.
I paid for it. I didn't ask for it for free. I didn't expect it for free. I bought it. Because I understand what goes into producing a book and selling a book and marketing a book. Because when you don't have a big machine behind you, you got to learn on the fly how to get your stuff in the eyes of people.
Yeah.
if I'm your friend and I believe in your greatness, guess what? I'll pay for it because I understand your value. Now, if you decide to give me something, that's on you. But it's not going to stop me from paying for your service or your product or whatever, because you are worth that. And me supporting your greatness doesn't take away from mine. It actually amplifies mine, because greatness begets greatness. So when I am pushing yours, it amplifies mine. Not that I'm looking to do that, but that's just by nature what happens. So we have to come out of labeling things and giving adjectives to things. Oh, your little business, or your small church, or you know, your little. No, we're not doing that. How's your campaign? How's your ministry? How are your book sales? Not little anything, not small anything.
Right.
How's your successful book going? What's
right.
Next? Are you writing your next successful book? Because my language is different when I understand what's in me, so I can help other people get to what's in them.
Right.
Plus, what I don't get is we are quick, especially in the gospel world, we are quick to sow into every TV ministry, but we would not sow into the church down the street that we call as soon as we lose a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't belong to a church. And you then want to come and you want to use the church for your events and everything that you have, you know, and that needs a church. And you know, and then you come to the church and you sow a $5 seed, but you go to TD Jakes and you got to pay $300 just to get in the dough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that last big conference that was supposed to teach people how to pray was charging, I think, what was it, $5,000 a ticket? $2,500 a ticket, something like that?
Cool.
That big event that was held by the great prophetess.
I think it was 4,000 or 5,000.
To teach me how to pray, which is for free in the Bible.
Right. I think when it comes to greatness, we have to recognize the greatness within ourselves. I'm real. Some of us haven't embraced that piece that we are great within, and greatness is to we are to be great because that's what we are created to be. I think many of us just assume that we're nothing because of what we come from, and so when we gotta look at, well, I'm great in one area. Or I'm great in this area, or I do this in that area, but greatness should be on me anyway because that's what I was created for. Like, I'm created to be great. I know my worth. I know. And then I think that's the other thing, knowing your worth and knowing who you are. I think that's the first thing that we got to develop with young, with leaders, with people, with business owners, is what is it you're knowing and understanding your self-worth?
Yes, absolutely. I did not understand the power of writing until I had a talk with Dr. J, who pushed. And, you know, I was sharing today with a coworker. I said, you know, we haven't reached the Barnes and Nobles and the book itself, the paper, the hard copy has not reached the Barnes and Nobles and the Targets yet. The ebook has, you know, but I'm not going to let it deter me from doing, you know, the next book, you know. If I help one person with the release of the first book, my job is free.
Absolutely.
You know, when we talk about, you know, being great, you know, and just so having the greater you, you know, if I help one person understand that something in them is needed for such a time as this, then my job is done.
Right,
right.
You know, so whether you sell one or whether you sell 15,000, you know, or 15 or 150 million, no matter how it breaks down, if one person comes back to say thank you for writing this book, you have done your job. I can't tell you the amount of people who have called me and said to me, I just finished reading your book and I'm sitting here in tears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was floored when I read Dr. J's, the first book I read by Dr. J, The Watchmen. That thing there floored me at the and people don't realize when you're writing these books or you're putting together a play or you're doing a CD, something for music, people don't understand how much time it takes to develop that craft.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that takes time where you have to sit before, you know, whatever your inspiration may be. And you got to make sure that it's number one, it speaks to you, even in music, you know, and then turn around and you get out to the public. And then, you know, I done did all this laboring. And the first thing you come at me is some negativity, man. Miss me with that.
That part.
Right.
You know, I just don't understand it. I've gotten to a point where I ask people, where's your business? Where's your book? You know, and even in the church community, you know, it's like we can't just celebrate a church. We got to compare churches. Well, how many members you got? Well, how many times y'all shout? Who's your band members? Like, why can't we just have church?
Right. We miss it because instead of being helpers one to another, we're competitors. And we're living in this comparison. And I tell people all the time, comparison is self-inflicted harm.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what those people have been through to be where they are. You don't know what they're going through. You don't see that. You see what you think is glitz and glamour, and you're going to kill yourself trying to get to where they are instead of being where you should be. So stop comparing yourself to other people. I'm never going to be Dre. I'm never going to be Maurice. But it doesn't mean I can't appreciate who they are and what they do and utilize and value what it is that they do. I can't do it all. But if I see my brother has something that I don't have, okay, bro, let's bring this together. How can we work together? Because greatness is looking at the whole, not a piece. Comparison is
right.
What is it going to do for me? How am I going to look? How is this going to benefit me? No, I'm not a writer because it benefits me. Yes, I get paid. Yes, I make money. But I want to help people. I want people to have clarity and understanding. I want people to be able to have language for what they're experiencing. You will never know how many people have come to me and said, I read this book or I read that book, and it gave me clarity and verbiage for where I was. I was experiencing it, but I didn't know what to say about it.
Mm.
That does something to me, not in a negative way, but just in the sense that it wasn't in vain. To see that, to hear that, to have people reach out and say, can I teach your material? Can I utilize your book? Because it helped me, and I want to be able to help other people. That's why I write, so the greatness can be expanded. Each one reach one. When you get it, give it to somebody else. Spread
Absolutely.
It. We have to, and as we learn it, also understanding that greatness is not a one size fit all. And it's not one season of your life. It is all of your life. So it's constantly progressing. I am great today because I was great yesterday. And what I learned yesterday helps me be great today. It's always a progression. It's not just a one-time thing. I'm great if I'm fat. I'm great if I'm skinny. I'm great if I'm in a relationship. I'm great if I'm single. I'm great when I got money. I'm great when I don't have money, because my greatness does not move based upon momentary situational influxes.
That's good.
If you want to lose weight, lose weight, but understand your greatness didn't come with weight loss. Your greatness came because of you. If you want to travel the world, travel the world, but understand traveling the world didn't make you great. You were great before you traveled the world, but now that you've taken in culture, now you've taken in these experiences, it's added to your greatness. Your experiences, your relationships add to your greatness. It shouldn't take away, it shouldn't diminish, it shouldn't chip away at. And a lot of us have been chipped away at because we were around people that didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
We were in situations where we weren't edified, where we weren't built, where we weren't fed, where we weren't sharpened. So yeah, go ahead, you can do it. Even if it don't work out, you can still do it. Try again.
Mm-hmm, that part.
Nothing beats a failure but a try. This has become a motto in my life. A slow crawl is better than not moving at all.
Right.
Too many of us want the fastness of manifestation, but don't realize the steadiness of preparation.
Yeah, because there must be some type of preparation before you can please.
That part.
We want it instantly to fall in our laps, but we don't want to prepare for it.
Right. You want $1 million, but you don't have an account for it to go in. Preparation. You know what I'm saying? We're in 2022.
Yeah.
You don't have to use a Chase. You don't have to use a Wells Fargo. You can. There are online banks that you could utilize. You see what I'm saying? So prepare.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have, but you don't have anywhere for it to go. Do you really think we're just going to give you $1 million to put under the mattress?
Mm.
No, you need to have somewhere to house it. You say you got a vision for business. Great. Have you looked into it? What does the market look like for the business that you want to start? Is it a niche? Are you the only one doing this? If you're the only one doing this, get started. Because you won't be the only one for long. But watch this. If you get the moniker of being the first, it won't change the fact that others are coming, but you'll always be the first. You'll always be the history maker. You'll always be the trailblazer. I was the first in my family. I don't want to be the last, but I was the first.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you want to write a book? Okay, I can show you how to do that. I can show you how to get it done, how to edit it, how to format. I can show you how to do all of that. But you got to put the work in because you can't just want to.
That's right.
You got to put some effort in your want to. So we have to realize that we're bigger than the momentary moments that we're in, or even what we consider a down season, or as the old folks would say, a lean time. Your lean time won't last forever, but if you won't prepare in the lean times, you won't understand the abundant times.
Right.
So you're greater than what you realize. You're greater than what mama said. You're greater than what daddy said or didn't say, because sometimes it wasn't what was said, it was what wasn't said. We didn't have any scope of doing anything more than what we saw because we were never told we could do more. So I can't see myself in public office because I never saw myself beyond being a trash man.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see myself at the helm of a company because I never saw myself beyond what mama or daddy did, getting paid under the table. No, you're bigger than that. You're bigger than what it looks like. You're bigger than your yesterday. Okay, so what? You got a few things on your record. Your record won't stop you, but you will. And I know there will be things that come at you. There were things that, that will attempt to stop you. But if you really want it, you keep going. I think I can. I think I can. We know the little engine that could, right? But do you really have that mantra within you? It don't matter who say I can't. It don't matter who don't support. Because watch this. Your greatest support outside of you is usually somebody you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And watch this. It's great to have support of people you know and people you don't know. But if you don't support you, why would anybody else support you?
Why would anybody else support you?
So
I think we find that too often.
Your own money, your own time, your own effort.
Mm-hmm.
Because of your own greatness.
I think we're finding ourselves in this. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I think we're finding ourselves at that place of needing support. But like you said, we don't support our own selves. So how can we expect it? We want the very thing that we cry about, the very same thing we neglect, we do to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely don't support ourselves.
Yep.
Definitely don't do that.
I can honestly say when I dropped my book, I actually bought my first copy of my book. Because I just believed and I actually bought it. I framed it and I framed the buy portion in the book because I just felt like, how can I expect someone else to believe in what I'm doing? You know, if I'm doing it just to get credibility from other people, I stopped looking for like people to just pat me on the back and started patting myself on the back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so one of my students had asked, you know, well, why did you frame your book? And I said, because at the end of the day, you know, I had to put in the blood, sweat, and tears for this. And so this being framed, it reminds me every time I look at it of what I had to go through for this to just be where it is today. You know, even after you go back to re-edit and
right.
to... you know, and to reformat and then re-release, because something don't look right. You know, it's still, you have to put in your best foot forward in order for your vision to come to pass. I've just learned in today's times, many people want you to put your foot in for something that don't even belong to you.
Right.
You know, this is my dream. But I'm going to need you to put your foot into it. This is what was assigned to my hands, but I need you to perform the work and just let me get the credit. Everybody wants to be a ghostwriter, or everybody wants a ghostwriter, but nobody wants to actually go into the lab.
Right. Because even with ghostwriting, that's an art that most people don't understand, because you can't just go to a ghostwriter and say, hey, write this book. You have to come with a plan, a story, a voice, because what they do is take what you give them and fill it out.
Right.
So you getting a ghostwriter is not making the process any easier, because now you got to get the book, read the book, because you got to know the book, because when the interviews come, you can't call the ghostwriter because nobody's supposed to know the ghostwriter was involved.
Right.
Absolutely.
A lot of people think it's a lazy way out, and it's not. It can be convenient, but it's expensive because they get a one-time fee.
Mm-hmm.
So they can charge you as much as they want to. They can charge you by page. They can charge you by hour. You don't get to determine what the fee is. And people think ghostwriting is like, oh, I'll give them a few hundred dollars. No, ghostwriting is a five-figure or more book deal.
Wow.
So we're starting at five figures. Because I'm never going to get credit for this. Because I'm never going to get anything more from this, I'm getting it all up front. So So you're going to tell me what I do.
Absolutely.
Because I got to take time out of my life to figure out your voice and your book. So no, you don't get to just shortchange me. So you may not have to do all of the work, but you're going to pay for the people that do. But when you don't know, you don't know. And I think a lot of times, especially when it comes to books, people have a daunting thought in their mind that books have to be 500 and 600 pages. When you're done with your thought, the book is done. If it's 4 chapters, it's 4 chapters. Be okay with that. Your book is your book because you wrote it, not because it's comparable to anybody else. Because watch this. Every best-selling author is not a good writer.
That is true.
Best-selling status is not about how good your book is. It's about how many copies were sold. So come on, be great and sell some books. I want you to do it right.
Uh-huh.
I want you to make sure that you've done the best that you can do. But even if you're not the best writer, you can still be a bestseller.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch this, if you take the goal out of bestselling and get the goal of being completing the book, you'll be better off.
Yes.
Why do you say that? Because the goal of bestselling is daunting. Get the book done. Can we focus on getting the book done?
Mm-hmm.
Because once you get the book done, you can put the work behind it to be best-selling. But if you never get a book done, you definitely won't be a bestseller.
Right.
How can you be a bestseller when there's nothing to sell? All right.
That's it.
So realizing your greatness. And we utilize books because that's what we know. But whatever your business is, whatever your service is, even if it's creating content on the internet, learn how to edit. Find the editing software or the apps that are going to work for you. If you want to be a content creator on TikTok, you got to start posting.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be engaging. You got to do things to get people to see that you're out there. You can't get mad that people are not watching when they don't even know you're there. So be great.
And it definitely has to be informative. Whatever you do, it has to make me want to watch you.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just post anything. But, make sure what you have makes me want to be a part of you. Anything that, and I mean, that's with anything. If you a restaurant, if you open a restaurant, make sure your food is edible, not just look good.
Whew.
I can't stand somebody who food look good but tastes like crap. You know, make sure your food look good. Make sure your restaurant is clean.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make sure you if you're in music, make sure your tunes is up to date. We in 2023. Your song shouldn't sound like it's in 1940.
Right.
You know, make sure everything is flowing correctly. You know, if you design websites, make the website easy. That if I'm selling something on the website you design it, make sure that my people can buy what they're looking for.
Right.
If one thing I tell everybody, if your website is confusing and I'm just here to shop and your website is confusing, you have lost a sale. You will be bankrupt before you make it to the bank.
That part.
So you got to make sure that whatever you do, it fits the genre of what you're doing and that it's accessible to the people that you're trying to reach. Even with this podcast, we already knew that this podcast wouldn't be for everybody. Some people like to hear the fanatics and other people like to hear a bunch of mess. in gossip, we just try to make sure that we are educating as much as we're enlightening and entertaining.
Yes, that's important.
You know, they didn't want it to be churchy because y'all know how I am. But we want to make sure that we're educating and we're enlightening and that we have topics that are relevant and that things that some of the things we discuss, we know will never be discussed behind the pulpit.
That's right.
Because it's so, it's, you know, the church has become so scared to tackle real topics. So we want to make sure that our listeners are engaged and our listeners are excited for the next show. You know, this is episode 5. Who would have thought? You know, and we have a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and a 5-star rating on iHeart.
Right.
You know, so that says a lot for 3 people who never really thought about being on the airwaves.
Greatness.
Great.
I think we're in the right frame of mind to walk in our greatness. I hope that many of us listening, those of listening, will walk in their greatness. They won't allow arrogancy or allow what people think is arrogancy to deter them.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's imperative that we learn to embrace the greatness in ourselves, but I also think it's important to help our friends and those that we love and want to, you know, embrace their greatness. I think one of the few things that we do is help others be great. It's funny because I have a student whose name is Great, and whenever I see him and he's not doing something, I say, "Are you great? Are you being great today?" And I think it's imperative that we really help our friends and our loved ones be great and walk in greatness and walk in their greatness so they don't feel left out or they don't feel like we've arrived, but we didn't have the ability to help them arrive. So I feel like that's one of the major things is people don't feel like they've arrived or they've gotten this, they've developed greatness within. Because I think sometimes we get lost in our own, building our own things that we forget, oh, I got to go back and help someone. Or I got, but you using wisdom, I'll say it like that. Using wisdom and know who you can help be great.
Yes, Lord.
That part.
Some people want to be miserable.
Well,
yeah.
Some folk live off of their misery. Yeah, that is definitely true. Well, bros, I think today's show has been the bomb, as always. Hopefully we helped somebody. We definitely want to get your thoughts. Please do not forget to go and to like our like us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, say, add us to your podcast streaming networks. And we're on Facebook at facebook.com/ The Brothers Podcast, the same with IG. We definitely are in interested in how you feel about the show. Leave your comments as much as possible on any of the shows that you guys are a part of. You know, leave your comments. Let us know what you feel. Let us know how you feel about the show. What would you like to see as a topic? Next week, we're talking about a lost generation or a dying generation, in particular, our young people. But we definitely want to hit topics that you guys are interested in. We're also going to be bringing on some guests in the future. As we talk about different things, we're going to be bringing on some guests, some experts, some just boss in their field. We definitely want to look into just different ideas that you guys would love to see us cover here on the Brothers Podcast. We are always excited to be in your ear, be it through your computer, your car, your earbuds, your Alexa, your Google Home, however you tune into us, we are grateful for you. You can definitely feel free to also check us out on Facebook individually. Javon Ramon, Maurice Stevenson Jr., A.L. Harris on our Facebooks. Same for our IGs, except for mine is Dre That Dude. And you can definitely hit us up individually. If you tune into us through Blog Talk Radio, always feel free to hit that chat block and chat it up with us. If you ever want to call in and allow your voice to be heard, 319-527-6083. And I got to get in the habit of making sure we announce that. But 319-527-6083 is our guest call. And we love to have company in our home. Come on through, wipe your feet off at the mat and holler at us so that we are able to get your point of view into our show. We're always excited for visitors.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. We would love to have you. Come on, y'all.
Absolutely. So until next show, listen, we will be back on the air in 2 weeks. We are slowly but surely winding down into our end of our year. December the 13th is our next show. And then we are on the 27th of December. And that's all we got left for the end of this year. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So excited. And then kicking off the new year, we will be on Blog Talk, I believe, every week. Pray for us here at the Brothers Podcast. But we're loving you and we're appreciating you.
Loving you.
Can't wait to see you. Come on in the room and be a part of this great show. We thank you for tuning in, and we will see you guys. Maurice, would you say something?
Yeah, good night, everybody. We love you.
Night.